be here. Thank the Lord for what I feel. Come morning, one day, we're going to walk by the river. Amen. And rest under the evergreen tree. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. If you're not saved this morning, you can be before this service comes to a close. You know, I think about society a lot of times, people in our nation and in the world, people. And I think about they're in darkness. They don't know what you and I know. They don't know that. No. Now, to somebody that's lost, hearing what you heard Brother Michael talk about a while ago, that don't make sense. But I'm telling you, after you get born again,
yes,
it makes all kinds of sense. I mean, it just fits. And we see things that people that are not saved. And I was, when I was lost, and I heard the preacher, and I heard the testimonies, and I thought, how can that be? It just didn't sound like it was logical. But then after I got born again, I got smarter. Amen, amen. Got to understanding the knowledge and the understanding of the Lord Jesus and what all he had done for me when he saved me. 2 Peter chapter number 1, stand with us while you pray for us for just a little while. I want to do what I feel like the Lord lead me to do here this morning in chapter number 1 in the book of 2 Peter. And I want to read verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord. We come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear Father, for every blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the church this morning, for your sweet spirit that we can feel in our heart and in our lives today. Thank you, Lord, for these that are bound with us. Lord, you know the need of the hour. Lord, you know the hearts of your people. You know the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. Father, if there be one among us that's not ever been saved, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that conviction had set up in their hearts and the drawing power of God to draw them to an altar of repentance. We ask you, dear God, that you might save them today. Anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Lord, have your way with us today. Give us the words that we need to say. Lord, we don't know what to do, but we're trusting you one more time. Have your way now, and Lord, we'll praise you, and we'll give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. What got me this morning as we began to read this week, to pray about what the Lord would have us to preach to you, sometimes it's just easier than other times. Sometimes the Lord talks to me on a Monday what he wants me to preach on a Sunday. And I have opportunity then to commune with him on the text throughout the week. Brother Raymond Cook used to always say he studies his Bible in his house, or he reads his Bible in his house and studies it in his garden. And you have time to study the Word of God when you can read it and get it on a Monday. Sometimes it's on a Saturday evening, and sometimes it's on a Sunday morning. Sometimes the Lord just deals that away. I think he kind of keeps the preacher in check. I think that's what he does to get us to realize that we have to rely upon the Lord for the message. And I still believe that today. I really do. I remember when I was a young preacher, young, in my early 20s, trying to preach. And I thought after about the third or fourth time that I had this preaching in control and that how we could really preach. Back in those days, and I thought, well, I can handle this pretty good. And I remember thinking that what I could preach to the church. And the Lord had put a message on me that was a real strong message. And I told the Lord, them people are not like that. Those people are better than that. And I wasn't going to preach it. And I got up and I started to preach. And the Lord gave me a locked jaw and a mental block. And I couldn't preach a thing. I mean, it just, I tried to get it out and it just, he shut it down. And I just shut the book and sat down. And I couldn't understand what had happened to me, other than I was trying to preach on my own. And that afternoon, me and the Lord had a little talk, and he done the talking, and I done the listening. And that night I asked the preacher if I could have a do-over, if I could just preach what the Lord really gave me this morning for tonight. And he said, yes, sir, you can. And I reckon the preacher realized that I had messed up, and he let me preach, and I preached what the Lord had led me to preach, and the altars had filled up. And I found out then that if you just let God have it and let him do it, it'll always have its effect in the service and in the lives of believers. So this morning is one of those days that I'm just going to preach, amen, and just give you what I feel like the Lord has given me. I want to talk to us this morning on the like precious faith. I want to talk to us on that for just a few minutes. There's not two or three different ways that somebody gets saved. There's not two or three different plans of God's salvation. There's not a different message for the rich folks and a different message for the poor folks. No, right. Every individual, my friend, comes the same way. Right. And we hear the same message, the same gospel message. The Apostle Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel, that Jesus Christ came and that he died and he was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. Amen. He said that was the gospel. Yeah, right. Amen. If a man will believe in that finished work of Jesus Christ, he can be saved. I'm glad that there's not two churches. There's just one church. Amen. And I said this morning, it's made up by people that have been born again and baptized, amen, into the family of God. The Bible said then, the Apostle Peter talks about a like precious faith. Everybody has that commonality, amen, and that constant that's in our lives if we've ever been born again, amen. And so the Apostle Paul, Peter then begins to give some things in this book that brings that like precious faith together. I'm a Christian, yeah. Amen. I'm not a Muslim, and I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Church of God. I'm a born-again, amen, child of God. And I serve him in a Baptist church because I believe that the Baptist teaches as closest to the Bible as the Bible gives. There's some things that some Baptist churches teach that I don't go along with. I'm glad I got born again before I got into the Baptist church. Amen. And so now Peter begins to talk about some doctrines here that the church needs to hear to carry on in our day. First of all, he says in verse number 2, he says something here that we all can bond together in. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the Word of God. How do we get our knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ? Through Scripture. Amen. This Word is truth. It'll be true when this world's gone. Amen. It'll stand when this world's on fire. Heaven and earth, he said, shall pass away. He said, but my Word shall endure forever. Amen. This Bible is a book about God. It's written by God, and it's for man. Amen. To understand the revelation of God the Heavenly Father. God is eternal. He's the invisible God. We could never see God. He's invisible. How can we see anything that's invisible? But it doesn't mean that he's not there. Amen. But we find in the Scripture that God is revealed to man by the word of God are written in truth, amen, that we might become knowledgeable of an invisible and an eternal God. We have that commonality in the scripture. I believe in God. I've never seen God with a natural eye, but I read about him in the Bible, and the Bible is true, amen. And so now we have that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Christ came incarnate. He was God in the flesh. I believe Jesus Christ is God. Amen. I don't believe he was man that turned into God. I believe he was God from the very beginning. And so now we know that God has, the invisible God, the Bible said, has come and declared in the flesh of Christ, God himself. You remember what Thomas said. He said, show us the Father. And he said, hath I not been with you so long? He said, that you haven't seen him? He said, I and my Father are one. He said, if you have seen me, he said, you have seen the Father. Hallelujah. Where did you get that from? I got it from the Word of God. I've never seen Christ with the natural eyes, but I trust in the ones who have seen him. Amen. The very apostles, Peter and John and all the apostles, they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got no other reason, my friend, but to believe them that have seen him. The Bible said that over 500 other people have seen the Lord. The witnesses of the eyewitnesses. The Bible said in the first chapter of the book of Acts, when Judas was crucified, or when he died, hung himself, when he died, the Bible tells us that they sought someone to take his bishopric. And the Bible said they sought God, that they could find one to replace Judas. And the Bible said, Peter said, we've got to find someone who is eyewitness to the resurrection. Amen. I'm glad that I know that he is raised from the dead. Amen. I have a relationship based on the word of God with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a book at my house that somebody had sent me, and it was a book that I'm supposed to write my life down to give to my grandchildren. In the event that I should die, they would know me by me writing this in this book.
Right.
And I wrote some things that they needed to know. When I die, brother, it's 50 years down the road, my great, great, great grandchildren, if God doesn't come, they can get that book. Even though I'm not present, they can read the book that tells them the truth about their grandpa. Hallelujah. I've got a blessed book written about my father, amen, that I read all the time, that I might know him more and more. Oh, that blessed book, hallelujah, is the word of God. The Bible written that I might have the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Peter then, he addresses in chapter number 2 that in the event of, in time that there's possible, a possibility of false people, false preachers and false teachers, that's going to come along and try to trip you up in the word of God. He said in chapter number 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Right.
And he warns you, he warns us, that there's an evil out there that's trying to trip us up with false teaching and false doctrine. It's here among us today.
Amen.
We see it out yonder today. We hear about it out there today. That's denying the very life of our blessed Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. And
I hear them all the time, hear them a lot of the times. They'll tell you that the Bible said when it did not say. Amen. That's the problem with the prophets in the Old Testament. The Bible said that the prophets, the false prophets, would tell you what God said when he really didn't say. Amen. That's the way it is today. Very few church people, very few people in the pew reads their Bible. And so it makes the sheep vulnerable to false teaching and false doctrine and heresy. Amen. And it makes them vulnerable, believing everything's all right. I had a discussion with a young man not long ago. And he was trying to convince me that he had art on his body. It wasn't tattoos. It was art on his body. And I said, did you know that the Bible said that God told the children of Israel not to write on their bodies? And I said, do you know why? I said, because Egypt wrote on their bodies. Yeah. Egyptians had tattoos on their bodies. And God detested the Egyptians. Yeah. And I'm telling you, they had the Israelites in bondage for over 400 years. And God delivered them out of Egypt. Yeah. He never meant for them to go back into Egypt.
Amen. Amen. So if that answers your question, I gave you the answer. Amen. But that young man tried to convince me, and he's a Christian. He goes to church, and he calls it art. I said, there ain't no art about that. I said, the Lord don't like that. Amen. I know he can't do nothing about it, but he can sure quit promoting it. Amen. I used to drink liquor, but I got warned again. Tell you, if you got a Budweiser hat and you're wearing it around, burn it.
Amen.
Don't give it away. Burn it. Amen. We ain't got no reason. A Christian has no reason to wear anything promoting ungodliness. Amen. So now he warns us against false teachers. They were there in Peter's day and they're here today. But then he also reminds us of a future judgment that's coming. There's a judgment that's coming. Boy, Peter's loaded here. And when you look at this judgment, the Bible said this second epistle, he said, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Listen, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Lord Jesus.
and put a rainbow in the sky that he would never destroy the earth with water anymore. That the next time that he destroys by judgment, it'll be by fire. Amen. He'll burn this and everything will melt with a fervent heat. Every building. There won't be enough asbestos in this world to keep a heated shield. It'll melt with a fervent heat. There'll not be anything nor anyone left. It'll be an impending judgment of fire upon the ungodly, perditious men, and all the whole earth be destroyed by fire. Now listen, I didn't say that. He did. God said that. There's a judgment coming. What makes me want to do right? But then the Lord's soon coming. He said, beloved, he said, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The scoffers are looking for and asking the question, where is the coming of the Lord? And they were rejecting the fact that he's coming. But Peter addresses that to the Christian. And he said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In the judgment now, I don't know how much time. I don't think there's going to be no 1,000 years. I believe just as soon as judgment falls, just as soon as we see the coming of the Lord and the dead in Christ rise first and will be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, called up to be with the Lord, the best I can tell after that, a destruction and judgment will fall upon this earth. Amen. And it will all be destroyed. The only thing left of it will be the saints of God that are resting in the love of the Heavenly Father who have been born again. He's a coming back. He's coming back. And then there's that verse number 18. With his final remarks in 2 Peter. Peter now fades away with this comment. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Grow in grace. Let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying, you know something they don't know. He said, have grace to share the word. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. No. You're not going to heaven because you belong to Antioch Baptist Church.
That's right.
We're going to heaven because we were born again.
Amen.
We were saved by the grace of God. That's why we're going. We've got nothing to boast about but the cross of what Jesus did at Calvary. So we can't claim anything that we've done. I can't say that I'm better than the sinner. I can't say that I'm better than you. But I can say I believe one day and I'm born again. And by the grace of God, I want to impart to you the knowledge of God that I can share with you a doorway how to get out of here. The only way that you can get out of here is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's to him be glory both now and forevermore.
Amen.
I want to have the grace of God to impart my testimony to those that are lost today. That I might remind them that the Bible is true, that judgment is coming. Amen. And that this world is going to be destroyed by that judgment. I want to impart to them that Jesus is coming one day. Amen. By the grace of God.
Amen.
Not arrogant, not angry.
There's only two types of people, that's saved or the unsaved. That's the only two categories that are in the world. There's many colors. There's many different cultures. But there's only two types of people, lost or saved. And what group do you belong to this morning? Do you belong to the saved? If you do, then we have a like precious faith.
Yes.
And that faith is brought to us by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God's Son. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you belong to that group that says, where is His promise? Those that deny Christ, those that say no to the gospel message. And those are the ones He writes as ungodly and are set for a judgment, forever to be separated from God and forever to be separated from life and forever in hell and never a doorway out. Today's the door. Today's the doorway. He said, I am the door. If you're going to get out of this, you're going to have to come through the door. Or you're going to have to face that judgment of God. While we stand together, while they come to the piano.